And that's okay. And I share that because so many experiences, especially for men, we've had experiences with our fathers on a baseball field. And if we're not careful, some of those experiences, we will let them define the rest of our life, and we'll never realize what that did. We'll never connect the two. We'll wonder why we feel the way we feel at certain times. And I just want to share that with you because I want to show you what God can do with it if you'll let Him. And that's the key thing, if we let Him. I moved on from that, went to high school, and I knew the Lord. Accepted the Lord when I was a young man. Never doubted my salvation. Now, when I got older in high school, I would do different things, looking for acceptance. Didn't see it then. God has showed me some things in the last 6 or 7 years of my life of why I did a lot of what I did years ago. And I did things I shouldn't have done, went places I shouldn't have went, because I was trying to fit in. Much the same as I was on that little league baseball field, trying to fit in. And if we're real honest, that's what we do most of our life. We try to fit in. And if we're not careful, we'll adjust our choices, our decisions, and what's right and wrong to us to fit in. Met my beautiful wife, and I would love to tell you we did everything the way you're supposed to. Didn't. But you know what? God's been bigger than that. Much bigger than that. We had a good marriage. Had three young sons. We were glutton for punishment because they were about a year and a half to 2 years apart, each one of them. And actually, she was a glutton for punishment because I worked all the time. But about a little over 19 years ago, something happened at our home. It was Memorial Day weekend. We had quite a few people out at our house. And our youngest son was about 2 and a half at the time. And I ran over him. And he died later that evening. And why I want to share this, God laid on my heart, I want to share with you guys. Some people won't relate with certain experiences, and other people will relate with other experiences. And I'm going to show you so many different experiences this morning. And I hope that one touches where you need Him to touch you at. I can look back and I can share about that accident in a very positive way now. I can sit here and tell you honestly and openly that I would not go back and change a thing. Now, I would have loved to have spent the last 19 years with my son. But I have that opportunity to spend eternity with him. And I know that. And I know that some people would not be where they are without that experience. That includes me and my wife and our other two sons. We may not be where we are without that experience and with what we've allowed God to show us through that. I'm going through this. I'm not going into a lot of details with things because I want to hit the end with what God did. Our youngest son, when he turned 19, struggled with a drug addiction. And as a parent, we look at what did I do wrong? What did I not do enough of? What did I do too much of? But ultimately, it's what did I do wrong? Why me? So he went to a drug regeneration program. We got a rather quick, unwelcome education. But I can say that through that, God showed me what He had for me. All the years of running, all the years of hiding, it took that for God to show me that drug addiction was as much for me as it was my son. Because He showed me what He had for me. And our older son, about a year and a half, 2 years later, got his second DUI. And as a father, again, you look back and say, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong? What did I do? What could I have done differently? And through all those experiences, What I've got to see is what God wants to do in all of our lives. That song where it said, and it really hit me, that I wrote it down, "You are so much more than words could ever say." See, I could go listen to all the sermons. I could go do all the Bible studies. But if I hadn't had those life experiences, God would be a bunch of words in a book and a bunch of stories from other people. But with that, going through those experiences, God becomes real to us. God shows Himself real. And what He does is He takes that and He shows His Word to be alive. It's not words in a page. It's not words in a book. It's not words that are for everybody else or for you. And somewhere in that book, it touches something that God's trying to touch in your life and in your heart that you've been missing out on. And you've been wondering, what's missing? What's wrong? What am I not getting? But through all that, He brought me to a point where before my youngest son's drug addiction, I grew up in church. And for me, years of growing up in church, I went to a Christian school before we moved to Okeechobee. So I got Bible 6 days a week. Had a Bible class every day in school. Went to church on Sunday, went to church on Wednesday night. You know, in church for me, if you would ask my definition of church back then, it was to be good and obey the rules. And duck if you didn't. You know, and so as I got older, well, then church became a choice for me. It wasn't because Dad made me or Mom made me. And so I chose not to. As my pastor, one pastor, James Garner, tells me, I was the Easter and Christmas churchgoer. That's the only two times he's seen me. You know, and I chose not to. And what I can look back on is what I was missing out on. Wasn't church. Wasn't a bunch of rules. I missed out on a relationship. And I can sit here and I can make excuses, just like all of us can. And I can blame the church that they didn't teach it. I didn't put myself there to look for it. You know, God's not about a bunch of rules. Now, He does have them. He does have an expectation. But that's not what He's about. He's about a relationship. And in a relationship, any of you that have been in any, either mother-daughter, father-son, boyfriend-girlfriend, husband-wife, in a relationship, your partner always lets you down. And you always let your partner down at some point. Here's the thing, God never lets us down. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And it took a lot of years for Him to show me that. As I got back involved in church and opened myself up to a relationship, it allowed Him to teach me things. And I want to go to Romans chapter 3. Starting in verse 22. It says, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." Doesn't say to all the good people. Doesn't say to all the churchgoers. It says to all people. Then it says, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." See, all of us are no different. We came from different places. We've had different experiences. We've had different losses. But we're all the same. We've all sinned. And here's the thing. It doesn't say have fallen short or fell short. Fall short. I'm not done falling short. I'm not done with sin. It's still there. And it's there for each and every one of us. You know, and it's one of those things where we have to get a hold of that we're no different from the guy that's sent to prison for life. In God's eyes, we're all the same. The only thing that separates us is a choice. And that's Him. The choice is Him. because on my own, I was a scared, timid little boy. I was a young man looking for acceptance, going to all the wrong places. As a father, from the outside looking in, most people would say that I failed. I had buried one son. I had another son in a drug addiction program. Have a son in a program right now. But here's what I've seen God do with all of that. I've seen people come to know the Lord due to my son's death. By nothing we've done, it was what God did through it. I've seen my youngest son that entered a drug program, graduated that program, struggled after that, has served for nearly a year and a half in Haiti as a missionary. And only God did that. And it was only through a drug addiction. That was His way of getting Casey to a place where Casey could understand it was about relationship. See, God did what it took me 40 years to get. My youngest son got it 23. My oldest son, it took him to an alcohol and drug regeneration program and get to visit him every week and see what God's showing him in his life. And he's picked up that it's about a relationship. It's not about a bunch of rules. It's not about going to church. It's not about being good. All those things come out of the overflow of a relationship. That's all it does. It's nothing we do. It's what He does through us. And if we'll let Him, we'll put ourselves in that position, we'll make that choice, not just to read the Bible, not just to go to church. It's about who you surround yourself with. You know, the church I go to, More Life, for the first time in my life, I got invited into something. A group of men, the elders of that church, God's vision for them was to raise up men. What they did, they invited a bunch of us to come join them. And what they did is they showed that they were human. They showed that they had the same weaknesses we have. They struggle with the same things we struggle with. They're not perfect. And they're willing to let you see they're not perfect. And in that, what it's done is we've got a group of men who walk with one another. We all struggle. We all still make mistakes. But what he's done is we grow through each other's mistakes. And we help each other not get stuck in their mistakes. See, that's what God didn't want me stuck as a scared, timid little boy. He didn't want me stuck as a young man looking for acceptance everywhere but Him. He didn't leave me there. Just like He's not leaving you there. If you stay there, it's your choice. If you let whatever it is that's happened in your past define your present and your future, it's your choice. It's not His intention for you. It's not His path for you. It's your choice. He's opening up His arms. He's done everything for us. We don't have to do anything. And this week's been a struggle for me. But I think that struggle was to show me what I was supposed to speak about, because I have went through 10 different things and none of them, I wasn't getting anything. And Tuesday morning, woke up about 5 o'clock in an absolute panic about something. And it's not bothered me in the past. It's not like I've not dealt with it before. And I knew God was wanting me to get up and spend time with Him, and I tried. Got frustrated. Just laid on the couch. Said, "You know, God, I'm tired." God said, "Oh, you're just going to lay there. You're not going to spend time with me. You're not going to journal." In our men's group, we've been going over journaling, so something I learned a long time ago, I wish I did it more because it helps me spend time with Him. But you know, as I laid on that couch, God said, "You may not journal, but I'm going to embed something in you today because you're going to need it at some point." He showed me something, and I'm going to take you guys there. Romans chapter 8. It's the last three verses of that chapter. starting in verse 37. He says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing in all creation. Nothing in all creation. Satan's a created being. I'm a created being. What that means is nothing in all creation can separate us from His love. Now, sin may separate us from God, but nothing separates us from His love. Our experiences may seem to separate us from God, but not from His love. My choices sometimes will seem to separate me from God, but it never separates me from His love. Because in every one of those experiences through my life, He was like this. He was waiting with open arms. He wanted me to run to Him. And I ran the exact opposite direction most of the time. Went through the experience of losing our young son. One of my closest friends is actually our head pastor, Kerry McKee. And him and his wife, Fran, would come visit us, walk through it. I grew up with Kerry in Belglade, so I knew him longer than most folks here in Okeechobee. And about 8 or 9 years after that accident happened, I had another accident happen where a guy ran out in front of me and I hit him, and he died later that evening. And I was angry, I was bitter, because all I did was relive the worst moment in my life through that. And Carrie and Fran came to see me the next morning. I told my wife, I said, "Tell them I'm asleep." It's not because I didn't want them there. It's not because I didn't think they would help me. And it took me nearly about 12 years to figure out why I didn't want them there. Because God came with them. I wanted them there, but I didn't want Him. Because that's who I was bitter. That's who I was angry with. I share that because so many of us have been through things in our life. It could be sexual abuse. It could be physical abuse. It could be abandonment. It could be anything. It could be something minor. It could be a statement your father or your mother made to you offhanded that they thought nothing about. But it could leave a wound or a scar there that's been there for years that makes you feel unworthy, that you don't live up to the expectation, and you may be sitting there thinking, and I didn't recognize this. You're mad at God for allowing that to happen. If there's a God that loves me, how could He let that happen to me? When in actuality, what God wants you to do is praise Him for it. He wants you to praise Him for that and let Him show you what He wants to show you through that. Because what He's showing me is that instead of being that scared, timid little boy, he told me I'm a leader of men. That scares me much more than any baseball on any field has ever scared me. Okay? But He wants to show you the same thing. I don't know what it is He wants to show in you. I don't know what it is He wants to heal you. But I know it's in there, and I know He wants to, because He loves you that much. Here's a God who gave His only Son. He loved us that much. I've not found anybody that I would sacrifice one of my sons for. But yet, He chose every one of us to. Not just the folks that are good. Not just the folks that have not had anything bad happen to them. Because sometimes on the surface, people will say, "Well, that person's never been through anything." You don't know what that person's been through. And if they share it with you, you may say, "Well, what's the big deal about that?" It was big to them. It was big to them. It meant a lot to them. It hurt them. And that's what God's wanting to heal in each and every one of us. Because He's wanting to show you that He created you for more than being a hurt, wounded little child or a person seeking to fit in or a person that's not sure what they're supposed to do. He's created you to be His child and made you to be His child. And we're going to stay in Romans 8 with that. Because I want to show you what He's done for you. Starting in verse 14 this time. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. And that's what I want to come to. See, I can look back and I can share that with some people, and I see the look on many people's faces as I share those stories. A lot of people want to feel sorry for me. A lot of people want to say, man, that's not what I want you to see. Because that's not what it was about. It was about His glory. It was about what He's done. I heard a quote on the radio the other day by Adrian Rogers. It really struck me. He said, the Christian life is not difficult. It is impossible. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Amen. And you got to understand that where He takes you, you can't make it by yourself. That's why He takes you there. It's like Aaron shared. It was so funny. As she shared, I'm sitting there thinking, man, God does well. Because God set that up. God laid it on both our hearts to share something that lined up with what He wanted to share this morning. He let us both experience things that brought us to the point of the realization that we can't do it without Him. Guess what? He's not asking you to do it without Him. Many times we choose to do it without Him. I chose for many years to try to deal with the loss of a son by myself and did not do well with it. As the saying goes, I spoke good Christianese. I knew all the answers to tell the church people to satisfy them. I knew what to say. But deep down, there was a bitterness and an anger that was there that God wanted to get rid of. You know, and He wanted to get rid of it so that people could see what He can do. Not what I can do. I can't do a whole lot. But He does a lot with those of us that let Him. The old saying goes, God hits well with a crooked stick, and I'm about as crooked as there is. So, and I want to end with this right here. God took me there that Tuesday morning. He put me there because I got through that morning. Got through it, thought I had this thing whipped, got on Facebook, put what God had laid on my heart on there, had one of the guys text all the other guys what God had laid on my heart, and I'm thinking, man, I'm on the other side of this right now. Till about 4 o'clock that afternoon, I got a phone call. Not what I expected, not what I wanted to hear. But as I got off the phone call with my son, I knew why God had burdened me on that couch that morning and embedded this in me to the point that I may not wrote it in my journal, but I posted it everywhere else. There may be some men that needed it, but I needed to know it was there. And I needed to realize that God gave it to me, not to get past what I dealt with that morning, but deal with what I had at 4 o'clock that afternoon. Because as I got off that phone call with Him, I said, Satan, you're not going to win. And I didn't just say it, I knew it. And there's a difference. That's where you got to get to. God wants to get you to the point where not only do you not just know it, do you not just read it, do you not just say it, He wants you to get you where you live it. Because when you live it, you know it to be true. You know there's nothing else that matters. He is truly enough. I want to share out of Romans chapter 5. Now my wife did not know what scripture I was going to. She's sitting there pointing this. She says, God keeps giving me the scripture. I said, well, good. That helps me. But chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. I shared those stories because I wanted you to see something. I wanted you to see how He's took me through suffering to produce perseverance. Now, for all those years, I didn't necessarily chase after Him, but I didn't run away from Him. I didn't put myself in the best place to hear from Him. But I always knew that He was there. There were many times I may have not acknowledged it, that I put my trust in a lot of other things. Put my trust in my business, in my work, in my own ability to provide. But He never went away. He was always there. And when the time came, what He's taken and shown me them sufferings that produce perseverance, that produce character, and character produces hope. And see, that's why I can share about my son, my 2.5-year-old son that I'll be joined with one day, because I find hope there. There's hope. Not that he's going to come back and I'm going to see him here. There's not hope that I can be a better person for it. There's hope that God can change somebody else's life through it. And a change that's eternal. A change that's not temporary, it's permanent. It's a change just like that other scripture in Romans that can't be undone. It's a change that can't be separated. No matter what you go through, where you're at, who you're around, or what you think, nothing will separate you from His love. Nothing in all creation. He gives you that promise. Here's the one thing you got to know. You got to know that you know that you know Him. I can't explain that. I can't tell you what it feels like. But you'll know. I can tell you that much. You'll know. There will not be doubt. Now understand this. There will be questions at times in your life. I question it. It says in His Word we're to work out our salvation daily. It's okay for me to question. But there's no room for doubt anymore. And you got to know that you know that you know that you know that. And you got to know how much He loves you. You got to know how much He wants to heal whatever failure, shortcoming, or wound you have in your life from whatever life's thrown at you. So many times we like to look at things we've been through or things that have happened to us as God's way of punishing. It's not what He's about. God has let us walk through things to bring us closer to Him. And I want to share with you to not wait so many years like I did. Not because they're wasted, because of what you're missing. You know, in John 10:10, He talks about the thief comes to destroy, to kill and steal and destroy. That's what he does. If you let him, he will. See, if we would have made the choice to let the enemy win, then we may not be married. Our two other two sons may have had to grow up in a broken home, and both of us wouldn't have been there to walk with them through their addictions. You know, where would they be? Where would we be? But see, God, Jesus came to give you life and live it and life abundantly, life to the full. And if you'll choose to see what He wants to do in your life, it'll fulfill you like nothing you've ever enjoyed. It'll be better than any job you've ever had. It'll be better than any relationship you've ever had, including that with your spouse. It will be better than anything you can come up with. And it'll complete you like nothing else can. The thing is, you have to choose that. Because He loves you enough to give you that choice. See, sometimes rules and religion don't let you. Rules and religion will tell you if you break these rules, then you're a bad person. God tells me if I break those rules that He still loves me. His grace is much bigger. One of my favorite songs is Amazing Grace. Listen to it I don't know how many times. The other day I'm sitting there listening to it. Heard the words who knows how many times. Grace has got me here this far, and grace will take me home. Grace is the only thing that got me through all of that. Grace is the only thing that got my wife through it. Grace is the only thing that got my two sons through it. And grace will be the only thing that will take us home. And it's His grace. That's what He wants. He wants to pour out His grace on you in a way that you may have never thought you deserved or were worthy of. Let me tell you, you're not, just like I'm not. None of us are worthy of His love. None of us are deserving of His love. And guess what? None of you can ever do enough good things to earn His love. You can't go to church enough. You can't do what your parents want you to enough. You can't do what your kids want you to enough. You can't do enough good things in the community. You only got to do one thing, and that's say yes. That's what He's inviting you to. It's what He invites every one of us to. I want to take this time to close now. What I want you to think about is if any one of those instances you relate to, or if any one of those circumstances you may have been in, or others, there's plenty of other circumstances that you can be in. But God wants to speak to that today, if you'll let Him. The enemy is going to tell you a bunch of lies. He's going to tell you that He's going to fill you full of shame. He's going to fill you full of guilt. I know because He did it to me. Because my son's addiction, both of them, were generational. I didn't do enough things. I wasn't the father I should have been when they were younger. And see, I don't know where you're at, but He's going to feed you the same lie. He's going to feed you the same shame and guilt lie. He does it to everybody. Because the last thing He wants you to get a hold of is what it means to have a relationship with Christ. A relationship that's real, it's personal, and it's intimate. And that's what He wants. And the enemy wants to do everything to keep you from that. He wants to keep you in that chair today. He wants to keep you sitting there. Because He knows that when you find Christ and you find Him at the core of who you are, you'll find freedom you never thought possible. He'll set you free from every guilty thing, every shameful thing, every wound that's ever been given to you. He'll set you free from that. That's what He came to do. That's what He wants to do. And you scare the enemy if you get a hold of that. So He's going to do everything He can to keep you in your seats. And I'm not saying He can't set you free there. He can. But there's something about moving. There's something about saying, this is what I want. You want Him. You need Him. We all have to have Him. So I'm going to give you a time now where if you feel the need to come forward and get on your knees at this altar and do business with Him, feel free to do that. If you're not sure that you know Him and you want to be sure, I'll be more than glad to talk to you. There's men in here, women in here that would be glad to talk to you and answer your questions. That's all we're going to do. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. There's just openness. So if God's calling you to do that in any way, I'm going to give you that time now to do that.